This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. This is the Workstream 2 Support Organisation and Advisory Committee Accountability Subgroup Meeting number 24 on the 23rd of March 2017 at 0500 UTC. My name is Cheryl Langdonor and I am one of the three co-rapporteurs for this group. Let's start with the usual call administration for today's call. And first of all, ask, is there anyone who is only on the audio and not on the Adobe Connect bridge? If so, let yourself be known now. Not hearing anyone, we will take the roll call from the Adobe Connect bridge. But I do believe there's a couple of apologies to note. That went to the list and staff has that in hand. I think there's one or two apologies that have come in and they will be noted for the record. The next thing I would like to do is ask, is there anybody who wishes to make or needs to make an update to their statement of interest? Not hearing anybody again. We will now move on from the administrivia, looking at the chat, Caboose's asking, sorry about the bird chorus, it's mid to late afternoon here in Australia, so it's time for much raucous behaviour in the avian world. My background noise, when I mute you won't hear it. Caboose has asked, do we have one of our co-rapporteurs, Farzaneh, on the call? I do not see her having joined us yet, and I am unaware whether or not she will be joining us, but hopefully that is the case. If not, no problem, because Steve and I are here, and we can divide up the agenda items amongst the two of us. Steve is also noting that the wiki is particularly on Snail's place this morning. In response to a question raised before we started to record this meeting regarding the most current version of our draft, which the agenda is actually showing as 1.32, and in fact that's a typographical error on my part. It should be draft 1.3 because draft 1.2 was the one that we discussed in our plenary session on March 10th. I simply did not remove the two, and it may be that we will be talking about new nomenclature for that anyway. Alan, if you're concerned about the copy distributed and the nomenclature, I'm sure Steve will bring you through safely to make sure you have hard copy available of the most accurate material. But I would suggest the best one would be how it sits at the end of this call. Steve, over to you, however. Let's save Alan now. Anyway, go ahead.
Hey, Cheryl. I just wanted to clarify that when I distributed the one that we all approved on the 3rd of March, it was labeled Plenary Draft 1.0. You know, prior to that, we had a work group draft that made its way all the way up to 1.3-something. But then we renamed the document Plenary Draft, and we called it 1.0 for the Plenary Draft, so our colleagues the plenary could keep track as we, you know, made modifications for the multiple readings. So it's 1.0, and I've just re-emailed it to everyone. And it is labeled 1.0, but it says Plenary Draft, and that's how you know it's the right one. Back to you, Cheryl.
Right. Thank you, Steve, and you can have me down on my virtual knees in most humblest apologies for the confusion. And if we make the change to the record, not in the agenda because the agenda was sent out as is, but if the notes can show that the typographical error was not just calling it 1.32 draft, but not where it shouldn't have been 1.32 at all. It should be, as Steve has now stated, Plenary 1.0. And I assume that's taken the angst and concern away from Alan and others who felt that they were not up to date with the most recent one. However, it is the one that we looked at on the 10th of March and was distributed before the 10th of March in plenary meeting. Very brief update, moving us, if I may, onto our next agenda item, to a very brief update from the plenary meeting. Steve and I will be going through the outcomes of our discussion and deliberation, but on behalf of Steve and Fazi and I, we were quite delighted with the interaction with the plenary and our first reading of our document, Plenary Draft 1.0, apparently typographically confused because the file name says 11.0. At this point, I'm throwing my virtual and real hands up to the sky in aghast and frustration, and I no longer wish to talk about the nomenclature of the document. However, the actual document has a couple of proposed changes that Steve has also distributed in email, and it is that which we would like to make the more important part of today's discussion. I'd like to note for the record that the slides which we used are also on, I believe, available as a link from our wiki. If they're not, they certainly will be shortly, but obviously are linked from the plenary meeting page on the 10th of March for the Copenhagen meeting. So, with that, if we can upload our plenary notes, please, now, and we'll move to our discussion, which is the substantial part of today's meeting. We're not too far behind time, thank heavens. And with this, loading up plenary notes, I'm going to ask Steve to take us through from the top of the document in terms of the notes and adjustments he has made, and we will stop section by section and open the queue. Not to relitigate the issues raised here, but rather as a matter of confirmation and brief discussion. Steve, over to you. Everyone has scrolling control, and Steve will let you know where we are up to in the document as he takes us through. Steve, I might manage the queue for you if I see you focusing and not noticing a hand up. If not, let's just see how we go as a tag team effort. Over to you, Steve.
Thank you, Cheryl. Hello, everyone. I think that all of you were present in Copenhagen on the 10th of March. Jorge, you were there as well, weren't you? Just checking in because I realized the rest were in the room, and therefore we don't have to go through too much of the details for the limited folks who are on the call today. So what I would prefer to do is look at the document on the screen, and I realize that at the top I have added an update regarding the Mutual Accountability Roundtable. We'll save that until we get to track two. It would be better if you please would scroll to the actual email from our plenary, and Cheryl and Farzi had cooperated on these notes, so they would call these your rapporteur's notes from the meeting. And I have to say that it went quite well. We had an engaging discussion with our colleagues in the plenary, and in fact, there were folks who, part of this work group from time to time over the past several months, who also contributed during the plenary session. That's one of the reasons Mutual Accountability Roundtable was sort of put back on the table. But we'll get to that in a moment. What I wanted to do is, if you look at track one, there were no objections to track one, which is the big body of our document. But we had just a handful of changes that were suggested. And as all of you remember, Thomas and the other co-chairs were quick to say, let's see if we can get closure on things, and it was only the Mutual Accountability Roundtable that deserves a more lengthy discussion. But in best practices, track one, in our draft executive summary, we had said that we recommend best practices, and Cavus, I believe, was the one who said, let's find a better, stronger words than recommend, and I think that we are very clear we aren't going to recommend changes to the ICANN bylaws, right? So we debated what the right words could be. So there were alternatives like we urge adoption, of these best practices, being clear that we urge the SOs, ACs, and groups to adopt it. It's not that we urge ICANN's board to adopt these in the bylaws. So we'll have to be very clear. We also looked at the words, we encourage implementation. So it'd be great to put this to bed with those of us on the call. I would say encourage implementation of. Are there any objections to encourage implementation of instead of recommend considered?
If you have a concern, put up a red X. If not, we will assume that you are all agreeing with the proposed change of words. That's Cheryl for the record.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the record. So we're going to go with we encourage implementation of to make sure that we're not, the word adoption makes it a little too much like something we want the board to adopt in the bylaws. All right, the next one was the ASO, I think it was Jorge, reminded us to clarify. You know what? I think it was John Curran who mentioned this. He wanted us to clarify that we are only talking about AC and SO accountability that occurs, quote, within the scope of ICANN activities. And this is important because the NRO and the IETF exist outside of ICANN, and that accountability they have to their membership outside of what they do at ICANN, not our business. So I agree. It's not obvious to me where that shows up in the document. I'd appreciate anybody who might identify where. Otherwise, I would take that on board and put it someplace in the document, probably in the executive summary and once at the beginning of track one. Okay. The next topic was under outreach and participation. Okay, we're at the top of page 2 on the notes, for those that are following the notes on the screen. We had some suggestions to add a diversity dimension to the best practices. And perhaps we could suggest incorporating recommendations as they come out from the diversity group in Workstream 2. I don't exactly know what else we could do with that. It's not a new, but I guess it is what they're asking us to do is to add something to the best practices under outreach. We currently have 5 best practices under outreach about publishing of newsletters, a publicly accessible website, creating a committee of appropriate size to manage outreach programs, charter procedures, and a strategy for outreach. So we currently, in the outreach best practices, don't have the word diversity. That's on purpose because we believe that each AC, SO, and group should do outreach to whatever parts of its target community, designated community, that happens not to be participating or not to be joining. We did not believe that it was necessary to tell them about their diversity characteristics. So what are the thoughts of this group? Do we want to add anything about diversity to the outreach participation section? I'll take a cue on that. Go ahead, Alan.
My inclination is actually to not. If diversity is a requirement or a target within ICANN, as it will be dictated presumably by the diversity group, then it applies to everyone, and I don't see a need to reiterate it in our particular goals or our particular recommendations or best practices. Maybe that's just me, though.
Thank you, Alan. Is there anyone on the group who feels that we should add a best practice regarding diversity? Or any reference to the Diversity Workstream 2 group? All right, hearing none, I'll say no to the outreach.
Caboose has his hand up.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Caboose.
I don't see any difficulty to add that, even if it is an action which being done throughout the entire ICANN. But as a completeness of our work, I don't see any difficulty to add that. Does it harm? to refer to diversity? Is there any consequence of that, any unintended consequence, something that harms the people?
Caboose, if you can hear me, then I would ask you to potentially put it in the chat or add or try again. That was not an audible or understandable intervention. We don't have a great connection with you.
Yes, I repeat, is there any difficulty to add diversity to this best practice? If yes, what is those problems? So I suggest that you add diversity, even if it is done through the entire ASEAN, because I don't see at the moment any action of that in the other part of ASEAN. It's referred to, but it takes some time to have the diversity in the diversity group, which is taken care of by UNO. Thank you.
Alan, I don't see the difficulty other than the fact that it was not part of what we came up with in our review and recommendations. So if we added it as a best practice, it'd be because we think it ought to be. I don't know for sure what we would base it on. And would it be our concept of diversity or a concept of diversity that is either developed at ICANN already or under development in Workstream 2? That's, I guess, the point of referring to some other group. I don't know if ICANN is going to publish ICANN-wide diversity standards, but we do think that Workstream 2 is going to publish on diversity. The trick is, I feel uncomfortable recommending something that hasn't even been published yet.
Yeah, it's Alan. I cannot imagine the diversity group, which is having some really good, robust discussions, not coming out with something. My concern of putting it in, yes, if we add our standard weasel words of, if applicable or as applicable, we're okay. But what does diversity mean in terms of the CCNSO? Are they going to reach out to more CCTLDs in a specific region because they're short of them? Their mandate is to reach out to everyone and try to get everyone to join, but that's as far as it goes. The same is true for the GAC. For the ASO, it has no meaning whatsoever in our context. And for us to add words like that where it doesn't apply to half of the groups and we don't know how it's going to apply or what it means for the other half, I tend to think we should not put it in. But if we add enough words around it, I can certainly live with it. I just don't see the purpose.
Thanks, Alan. It's certainly true of outreach, the way you've expressed it. You're exactly right on outreach. It's possible that you could say something about the diversity among those who participate, but that isn't something that we control. The individuals control that. Cheryl.
Thanks, Steve. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. And just looking at what is coming up in the chat from Jorge and Caboose, there seems to be a rationale for at least some reference in terms of outreach and participation, where we at least note that there is an opportunity to meet desirable diversity dimensions in outreach and participation, but certainly that will be variable between the ACs and the SOs to meet their particular needs. So yes, it would be a high level referential statement. Yes, it would probably be weasel words, but I think it would the nexus needs to be recognised with the other activity from the Workstream too. And of course, even if you're looking at geographic diversity and a desirability within, for example, your own sector or interest, Steve, you may be able to say, yes, you wish to reach out to the business community, ensuring greater global diversity. So I think we probably do need to put in an overriding sentence as opposed to a specific best practice that can be tested. But it looks to me like we probably should put in a placeholder for a piece of text.
Thank you, Cheryl. I think what you said is a reasonable thing, and yet I don't know what the words would be under participation. Adding subject to the SOAC's diversity objectives, adding something like that?
Yeah, I think what we can say is that within best, Cheryl, for the record again, best practice within a SOAC with regard to outreach and participation may enable them better achieving their desirable diversity dimensions or some such.
So it's really a recommendation that they considered.
Not so much a recommendation as a recognition that it would be in best practice with outreach and participation of each AC and SO, it is that they can enable reaching their desirable diversity dimensions. And, of course, then we could, if we wanted to, cross-reference to the other activities in Workstream 2. But we've been very careful to be a light touch in our work because of our recognition that each SOAC will have very specific diversity desirabilities and even possibilities.
And do we mention gender and geographic diversity, or just leave the word diversity standalone?
I would use diversity standalone, Steve, because we find it, I think it's a trap to be too specific in our work.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. Caboose?
Yes, I agree with Cheryl that we should mention this recognition of diversity during the GAC meeting at several occasions, either inside the GAC or in our meeting with other SOAC. Several times reference was made to diversity, and it seems that there is some interesting point for all groups. So I have no difficulty to generally refer to diversity as a recognition, but not going to the detail of age or geographical or gender and so on and so forth. Thank you.
All right. I'll take it under advisement that we want to do some recognition and outreach and participation best practices. To add the word diversity without delineating its specific kinds of diversity in the outreach activities and, I guess, in the participation aspect. So if you have a lot of members already of certain diverse groups, but they're not participating in work groups or they're not officers, then I guess diversity could creep into those considerations as well. I'll try to come up with something for both outreach and participation. It'd be one sentence. It escapes me right now what we could say, and if anyone can think of it, please circulate it. All right, the next topic, keeping us moving
Steve,
here.
Steve, it's Alan. Before we go on, isn't this one of the things that we should flag as potentially needing resolution when all of the various parts of the reports come together?
Could do that. Could just reference the diversity group of Workstream 2.
I mean, you can put the word in somewhere now with a footnote saying this is one of the items that we're going to have to make sure matches when the various subgroups come together and we know what they've actually said.
Okay. So in the best practices for participation and outreach, you could add a best practice suggesting that when the diversity group of Workstream 2 completes its work, we will examine for inclusion of any best practices applicable here. Would that be all right?
It's fine with me.
And similar to what Cheryl's just said. I know, Jorge. I agree completely. That argues for doing nothing, but I'd say we had at least four folks on this limited subgroup are suggesting it's not a big lift and it might be harmless to put it in. So we're really just, I think, trying to address a general suggestion. I'm going to move on, though, because we're going to run out of time here. Transparency recommendation number four, I'll read it to you, was meetings and calls of subgroups should normally be open to public observation. When a meeting is determined to be members only, that should be explained publicly, giving specific reasons for holding a closed meeting. Now, in the plenary discussion in Copenhagen, Michael Karanikolas, who's the co-rapporteur for the transparency group, said we ought to recommend that the best practice is to limit the reasons that you could close a meeting to members. I was extremely uncomfortable with us dictating the reasons any ACNSO could close its meetings to members, so the compromise was to list five appropriate reasons for a meeting to be closed. And that is on the notes in front of you at the top of page two. There are five different bullets. Now, Michael Karanikolas is a transparency expert. He whipped this up in no time. And I changed the words a bit to make it applicable to this section. So is there any objection to adding these five bullets as appropriate, but not the only reasons that an ACSO or group could close a meeting to its members only? This would show up under transparency recommendation four, and it would make that particular best practice recommendation quite a bit longer, but we can fit it in there. Any comments or objections? Alan, go ahead.
I think the fourth one is not sufficient. If you look at the kinds of things the SSAC might be talking about, they may well be talking about things that will not harm the stability or security of the Internet, but might well harm the security and stability of many computers on the Internet, which is not quite the same thing. So I think we need to generalize it a little bit.
Could you please do that in the chat and send me the new text, please?
I don't have a clue what the new text is. I would suspect we need to ask someone from SSAC, because that's the kind of thing that they would routinely do, and I think it needs to be a wider statement than that. So I'll volunteer to ask Julie Hammer if she can ask someone to suggest something.
Because, Alan, that is a phrase I think you're well aware is used all over the place, security, stability, and resiliency of the Internet. We use that expression and generally to mean the infrastructure of the Internet as well as computers that are connected to the Internet. It's usually used pretty broadly.
Okay. In that case, it's not a problem.
I think so. Christopher Wilkinson, please. Cannot hear you, Christopher.
Righty, so I'm...
Yes. All right. Christopher, start over, please.
Well, my... Can you hear me now?
Christopher. Now we do, please.
Yeah. Okay, good. That's better. I agree with transparency. I think the subgroup has gone too far in certain respects. I respect their objectives, but the practical implementation of such detailed recommendations could be problematic in practice. frankly, I think this degree of detail is not necessary. But okay, if that's what you came up with last Friday, I won't object. That's not the main problem that I have with the Transparency Group's report, which I've posted. So that's enough for now. But if each point is detailed in five bullets, some of these documents are going to be quite difficult to implement across the whole of the ICANN community. Just a note of skepticism.
Duly noted. The character in which we would add it to just the transparency, I think, is to be helpful to an ACNSO if they wished to explain why they're having a closed meeting. Because we did recommend they should explain the reason. That's what we said. Give specific reasons for holding a closed meeting. And if we're asking them to do that as a best practice, I suppose some could say it's helpful if we give them the typical reasons that are used in transparency circles for closing a meeting. And that would be the nature of offering these five bullets. I think that all of you will agree, though, we do not want to tell people these are the only five reasons that can be used. Go ahead, Caboose.
I don't believe that we need to add anything. The text that we have is sufficiently broad because we first introduce the word normally, and then we give some other statement that there is something to be done that will be done. So I don't think we need to add as appropriate or where appropriate and so on. So we have also discussed this issue in other concepts, in concepts of gap principles and the meetings, and we introduce provisionally subject to further confirmation in our principles that are normally open. That means you have a room for some exception if necessary, but we did not mention that as appropriate or where appropriate. So I don't suggest that to add anything. The text that you have is sufficiently broad. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Caboose.
Steve Sherrill here. It seems to me that what we can do is pass this back on to the plenary to some extent. So providing we put this set of bullet points in, clearly labelled, as Alan has said, either normally or, as I said earlier, as examples, so it's clear that this is simply an assistance list, not a exclusive one. And we raise this to the plenary to see whether or not it adds anything or whether it can be deleted. I'm not sure whether we can make a comment on our document so that we draw the attention of this section to the plenary, but that is the type of way I would think we should go forward on this.
Okay, thank you. Got that. Next one is Finn Peterson had noted that Transparency Recommendation 5 and Participation Recommendation 4 address the minutes of member meetings, but should be consistent in the way we reference them. So under Transparency Recommendation 5, we say, quote, minutes for all membership meetings should be published. And then under Participation, Recommendation 4 says, for any meetings, whether they're closed to members only or open to anyone, the members have to be able to access minutes and recordings subject to exceptions for confidential matters. So Finn's observation is that they should be more consistent. What do folks think here? Do you believe there's any need for changing the wording on those two recommendations? I repeated them right there in the notes for you, so you don't have to go back to the original document. Cheryl.
Thanks, Steve. Cheryl here. I do see Finn's point here, and if we were to change anything, and I think we may as well, perhaps we should, under the recommendation 5, note that minutes for all membership meetings should be published to ensure members have access or something like that. So we switch the two sets of language and sort of blend them together.
We have to keep them separate, right? Because one's under transparency.
I mean the language, blend the language terminology together, not keep them as separate.
Mm-hmm.
But we still keep them as separate recommendations. So not wanting to wordsmith on the call, I think we can either use the term published or use the terminology instead of published or bracketed after published to ensure access to all minutes of or recordings, just to have some consistency. I think the consistency point is valid. I just don't want to spend much time in this today's call to wordsmith it, but we should be consistent.
So the inconsistency has to do with the notion of members have able to access minutes in number 4. But in 5, we say should be published, and published would mean to all.
To
so
all.
The inconsistency has to do with who gets to see them. And how would we want to suggest that minutes be available to all? I guess you could add the subject to exceptions for confidential matters. But what about the idea of recording? Because it's hard for a recording to be summarized and redacted. If you're going to make a meeting of a members-only, the minutes, the recordings of a member-only meeting, should they be published to all? That's sort of a substantive question for best practice.
If I may respond, many of the in-camera discussions that do happen as part of open meetings, the recordings are simply stopped, and then when they start back, they note what the outcome was of the in-camera discussion. So Alan's got his hand up. He does this a lot, and I'm sure he'll add to that.
Thank you. I was actually going to comment on something slightly different, which I'll do, but then I'll go on to Cheryl's. In the transparency recommendation, we use the word minutes. And, in fact, many meetings don't have minutes. Some meetings only have notes. Some meetings we just publish the or make available the recordings and or the transcripts. So whatever wording we use should be more generalized than just the word minutes. In terms of... I guess in at large, everything tends to be open, whether it's for members or anyone else. And it's a very, very rare thing that it be closed. And if it is closed, typically there are no records that are made available of that particular section. So, some other parts of ICANN where they have members' meetings that are typically not open to the public for discussions may have a different view of this. So I'm not sure I'm the best one to advise on how this works. Steve, when the business constituency meets, is it always open and public, or do you sometimes, when you're plotting on what to put in a statement, is that done in closed session? I don't know.
It is, Alan. We close it to members. And the only distinction between closed and open is whether it's members only or everyone. And we do have closed meetings at each session of ICANN. And our calls, when we have them, our membership calls, are closed to members only.
And do you have minutes and things like that are published for those?
As Cheryl says in the chat, it's really a meeting summary or meeting notes. Maybe the word minutes is imprecise. But we do publish a summary of the minutes, summary of the meeting. Yeah, I don't know what to do on this one. Caboose?
Yes, two words that I have some comment. First, published, and second, minutes. In other fora outside the ICANN, these two words are very carefully used. Usually these days we would not mention published, because published is a formal publication, either in a circular letter or in an alert and so on and so forth. We use the term to be made available. And if you want to go further and this data to be made available and posted on the corresponding web page of, and we refer to where it should be posted. So we don't use the word, the term publish anymore, because that it was some years ago, but not these days. And second, minute is something that record of the meeting which agreed by everybody, whereas we don't agree on what has happened, we just provide the notes of who said what. So I am in favor of notes, or I'm in favor of using the term to be made available, and if you want to continue, to be made available and posted on the corresponding web page of, and you said where it should be posted. That's not the word published, nor the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Caruso. That was helpful. The word posted instead of published, and Cheryl had suggested the word notes instead of minutes, I believe.
Caruso said made available, and maybe we want posted, but made available is the operative thing, because posted again implies we're doing it in a specific way, and I'm not sure we want to be as prescriptive.
And then what about the fundamental difference is recordings. And the fact that on recommendation 4, we wrote members. So we're going to take members out. So it really ends up saying, because participation 4, because it covers both closed and open. If it's a closed meeting, then it would only be the members that would have access to notes and recordings on a closed meeting. But in recommendation 5, we said, notes for all meetings, whether they're closed or open, should be published. So he's right. We're not consistent on that. So fixing those words doesn't really solve the inconsistency. I'm going to leave this one as something we're going to have to come back to, because we've got to get through this, please. So we don't have an answer on this one yet, unless someone can come up with something in the chat. The next one was Jan Schulte. He was recommending something stronger than consider. I think we covered that one earlier. We were going to say to encourage. Then we go to the next one. And there was quite a bit at the end where members of the plenary were impressed with the list of best practices and said, well, once we publish the best practices, they sort of become obsolete or out of date within a few years, and there'd be no renewed attention as to whether SOs and ACs were implementing any best practices. And I go back to what happened on, I guess, 2 years ago. Recommendation 10 of the CCWG final proposal, and I put a link in there, said, quote, in Workstream 2, include the subject of SOAC accountability as part of the work of the ATRT, or the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. Now, that was in Recommendation 10 of the report that all of the chartering organizations approved. I'll note that it was not part of the bylaw with respect to our work group, but it was in Recommendation 10. And as Alan, Cheryl, all of us discussed this extensively while we were in Copenhagen, the bylaws for the ATRT have a broad charter, a mandate to look at the accountability of the organization, and then there are a list of 6 topics, issues that may be considered by the ATRT. It doesn't tell you these are the only ones you may consider, nor does it tell the team that it must consider these 6 issues. But that would be an appropriate place for us to honor what was in Recommendation 10 by adding to that list. So what I've got there in the text is that we could add, let's see what words could we add, is that to examine, the future ATRT could examine SO and AC accountability, transparency, participation, and outreach. That is a new item in the bylaw. If we were to make that, that would be the only recommendation of ours that has bylaws implications. So let's consider it carefully before we decided to go there. I will note that the work of this group has been extensive, and if a future ATRT team had to look not only at what they typically do, but also had to do an entire parallel look at SONAC accountability. That adds substantially to the work of an accountability and transparency review team. So we don't want to add this casually. Alan.
Thank you. I think it's reasonable to add to the ATRT list of optional things they could do is to look at the kinds of outcomes we are coming out with, that is the best practices and things like that. I do not think it is reasonable that we charge them with actually evaluating accountability of particular ACs and SOs. That's part of the AC and SO review process because we've added accountability in there. So if you're saying come and review the kind of work we're doing, are there other best practices which now make more sense or some of our best practices obsolete? That's something ATRT could review. But I would not charge them with reviewing accountability of particular ACs and SOs. Thank you.
So, Alan, I think what you said makes immensely good sense, and it would mean we would amend our report to recommend the future AT&RTs examine the status of best practices or examine best practices with respect to SOAC accountability, transparency, participation, and outreach. You want the word best practices in there, so it's not an audit of the SOs and ACs, but just to re-examine the best practices?
Yeah, and again, it's optional. Even if we don't put it in, an ATRT can decide to do that because an ATRT can extend. But, yes, we can certainly put it in as one of the options if we feel that we have to do something in response to the Workstream 1 work. I'm not absolutely convinced we do, but if there's a general feeling we do, then I think that meets it or that addresses it.
Okay. We could put best practices for. And Alan, I think that you've made the words more manageable, and I appreciate that. And we all understand it's under a list of things that may be, not must be considered. It does require, though, that we are recommending a small bylaws change. The motivation for it would be to stay true to Recommendation 10 in the report that all of the chartering organizations approved, but that we had not yet addressed.
Yeah, and we could suggest that if the plenary feels this is important, they do it.
Yeah. Okay, so we can put words into that effect and change the text we had about we did not recommend any bylaws changes. We would be changing it to say we are recommending only one bylaws change. And have to explain that. So this would be a little more of an extensive discussion. And I guess it would live right at the end of the best practices section. Mentioning it right there. This is on our main report, it's on page 7. I'll put it in there and flag it as under consideration. Okay, fantastic. Thank you. The next item is track 2 on the mutual accountability roundtable. That is on page 31 of our main report, and the first reading revealed, I've said, significant objection or concern on our recommendation for mutual accountability roundtable. And you guys recall our recommendation for mutual accountability roundtable was that there was no need. So you did not recommend implementing it, at least not in the way that Willie Curry and others had suggested it be done. Several speakers came up with ideas for it. I think Cavus and a few others said that we would make it optional by teeing it up this way, that once a year prior to the annual general meeting, ICANN staff would solicit the opinion of the chairs of all AT&SOs, asking them if they'd like to hold a mutual accountability roundtable to discuss accountability over the last year, and if a majority agreed, they could hold that on the schedule. And if so, staff would set it up on the schedule for 90 minutes. It would be open to all ACSO and group chairs, and would be joined by the CEO and board chair, and that the board chair would designate a moderator. So that was seen as a way to keep the idea alive in the face of, again, the word was significant interest on the part of the people in the plenary, as well as a few from this group who came back alive in the plenary discussion. Alan.
Yeah, I'll note that the majority of the words here say ACSO chairs, but then it says the group that we would be convened would be a much, much larger group.
That's right. That's our, right. I don't know how James Blobel, the chair of GNSO, could speak to what's going on inside of the business constituency. So I don't know how you do it without the groups.
I don't know either. I'm just noting that it is two different subgroups, and it would be really important not to have the larger subgroup make the decision at the top, because of the number of ACNSO, of group chairs within the GNSO, for instance, they outnumber the rest of the ACSO chairs. We've already had a number of cases where when the group is ACSO chairs plus GNSO sub-chairs, the GNSO rules. And I think we ought to make sure that's not the case here. So I'm happy with the wording here, but I just note that there is two different groups referred to in the decision-making than in the actual process.
Yeah, Alan, it's a great point. I don't know how... Are you leaning towards saying that the ACSOs and groups be in on the decision?
No, I'm supporting the words that are there. I'm just noting that there is a transition, and I'm supporting...
It was fully intentional. The transition was fully intentional.
Then I support what's there.
Thank you. Are there any objections to this? And before you conclude, let me refer you to the very top of this document, if you please, because we're down at the end of this one. If you scroll to the top of the notes, please. While we were in Copenhagen, I took the opportunity to meet with the chairs of the constituencies and stakeholder groups within the GNSO, and I asked them what they thought about this suggestion. And the reaction was strongly negative. They said this would not be a good use of the time and the time of meeting attendees. And they particularly listed the reasons they would not want to do it. And all this is at the top, page one. Interestingly, the registrar's chair said, maybe we just do annual reports. And I laughed to say, well, that's actually part of our best practice. We had that in there. So they would probably vote no, but the truth is, the way we've structured it, they don't get a vote. It's only the GNSO chair who votes on whether to hold it. And I suppose that if the registrars really objected to the use of their time, they would potentially not show up. But I got a very negative reaction from the GNSO, and I wanted to be sure you all knew about that before we proceed with this recommendation. Cheryl, let me leave the last 4 minutes to cover your suggestion in the chat. Thank you for doing that, by the way.
That's all right, Steve. Cheryl, for the record. And I think that it's been in chat for a while, so unless anyone objects, we might just take that across for consideration in our next draft of the document. I do want to just make sure, first of all, that we are comfortable with this potential amendment. I don't have a problem with it, in as much as we also now know that at least in a current state from the GNSO, the GNSO chair would be highly unlikely to be in the majority agreeing to hold such an event, because the chairs of the leadership within his constituencies would unlikely to be supportive. So I think we're fairly safe either way here. But Steve, can we also establish, and I'll only take another 5 minutes anyway for the end, not even 5 minutes for the end, that we are comfortable with the agreement on the IRP so we can wrap this document up as a whole? I don't think there was anything substantive to change there, other than to recognise the new ICANN complaint officer. Is it my bandwidth? Is Alan and Cavusa's hand both up on these points?
My hand was certainly up.
Okay, Alan, so go ahead.
Yeah, I was back on the previous point on the mutual accountability. I was just going to point out that my comment in Copenhagen was I personally have been a supporter of the Accountability Roundtable or something like that, but I don't really think ICANN is ready for it. So
I can
live with what's there. I'm not sure a lot of the ACSOs will say, yes, let's devote the time to that, but I can live with it.
Thanks, Alan. I believe that's kind of what I was trying to say, that what's there leaves enough wriggle room that in the very unlikely events that there was a majority who agree, then it can happen. But it's such an unlikely event on the current state of play that I don't need to stay up at night worrying about it. Caboose, over to you.
I think the majority in the CCWD program, they were in favor of such possibility to have this roundtable accountability if the chairs of the AC and SO so decides. It's quite evident that GNSO subgroups or groups, they don't want that, but other groups, they want such sort of accountability if the chairs of the SOAC so decide. So I think we need to open or maintain that possibility. Irrespective of whether GNSO subgroup people want or not want, I don't think that any problem to have 90 minutes of discussion. And the only problem with the text I have is saying that it is only open to these people. I think it should be open at least on the listening to everybody, but not intervention. So it should not be more or less a close. People should be aware what these chairs discuss if they so decide to have a meeting. So I have some comments on the last part, open to SOAC chairs. I say we should put more broader openings, at least on a listening point, that people be aware of what they're discussing. There are some concerns of some other people that we don't really know what's going on in GNSO. So perhaps they don't want to be more clear, but we want that they be more clear. So I'm in favor of maintaining this just leaving to the chair of the GNSO to interpret the discussions. Any point to the meeting to be in favor or against of such a meeting that is a reflective need of the group, but not having more than chair of the GNSO, anybody else from the subgroup of GNSO, otherwise they will ruin the whole group. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. So it appears to me, Steve, that this language as written is okay to go, leaves enough wriggle room. The fact that we say a 90-minute open session, the only thing we may wish to do is say public session at the AGM, which would make it very clear from the expectations that Caboose just outlined that it would be open to all. And we do recognise that there is a forum for the ACSO chairs to interact in a less public way. And as Alan points out, this type of round table fare would not be the most ideal way to do it. So it looks to me, Steve, that assuming there is no issue with us just adding the ICANN complaints officer reference, as Avery raised, into our track three, that we now have an opportunity for a slightly refreshed document. We will undertake, or to the point Steve will undertake, because he uses Word and I don't, to make the changes on this document so that we have a next version available for consideration at the plenary meeting on the 29th of March for a what we will call a second reading. But obviously it'll be a second reading ensuring that we bring the plenary up to date on the changes that they suggested on the 10th of March and that we have adopted. With that said, we are a minute past the top of the hour and I wish your indulgence for a minute or two more. There is a link in the agenda to the master meeting schedule. You will note that we do not have regularly scheduled meetings in that master schedule after today. Obviously, there will need to be other meetings managed either in a prepared or ad hoc manner. I would like to take that now to the list so we have more interaction from our wider work team membership. But it is a matter that I think we do need to resolve as soon as possible. So the single action item out of today is for your co-rapporteurs to update the plenary document for resubmission to the plenary at its meeting on the 29th of March, and a request to go out to the list regarding organisation, orchestration and timing of any future meetings. And sorry if I misspoke in the notes. Steve has clarified that Avery was suggesting we not mention the complaints officer as an alternative in the IRP. We don't mention the report, so no change is needed. So that makes it even simpler. With that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your indulgence of an extra 2 minutes of your time. The notes from today's call will, as usual, be distributed. We will have a fresh document available and going out to the full CCWG list in advance of the plenary on the 29th of March for its next reading. And we will take to our list the conversation about our next meeting schedules. With that, thank you to staff and thank you to all of you who've joined today's call, and bye for now. The recording can stop.